Under the era of Jim Crow laws, enforced racial segregation kept blacks and whites separate at restaurants and bathrooms and employment and education. For Black History Month, GLT is reviving its occasional series McHistory in partnership with the McLean County Museum of History. While black students could attend Illinois State University in the early to mid-1900s, they couldn't eat or sleep near their white classmates. They had to rely on residents for room and board.
I was telling him how hard it was for students years ago. I told him that I had 8 boys to stay with me, and they all made good, but had it hard. They couldn't eat in the cafeteria, couldn't stay in the dormitory. That's why I had them and different people had them, because we had to stay in homes. Diva Griffin, Director of Development at McLean County Museum of History, reading for Luanna Sanders Clark.
I'm Bill Kemp, Librarian, McLean County Museum of History. Luanna Brown Sanders Clark is extremely fascinating. Her father was born enslaved in Tennessee. She grew up in rural Kentucky and southern Illinois. So when she came to Bloomington in 1916 as a young woman, to be a housekeeper for the Kitchells, Albert and Anna Kitchell, on the 600 block of East Washington Street. The Kitchells had a confectionery or candy store downtown. When Anna, as she was known, when Anna came to Bloomington in 1916, yes, Bloomington was worlds away from rural Kentucky or southern Illinois, but yet there were many barriers that African Americans had to face at the time, and one of them was in restrictions on employment. So a very bright young woman like Anna was restricted to work such as being a housemaid or housekeeper to a upper middle class white family. In 1917, she marries Isaac Ike Sanders, and the two of them run really a remarkable establishment, an African-American-owned restaurant on the 1100 block of West Washington Street. This is the old West Washington Street Commercial District, which is really just a shadow of itself today. After Ike Sanders passes away, Anna becomes a bathroom attendant at the A. Livingston and Sons department store. A lot of folks will remember that locally owned department store on the south end of the downtown square in Bloomington. And then for 22 years, she'll work at the Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Children's School on the north end of Normal as a laundress, and then work in the hospital there for that state-run institution that cared for children. Most interesting, I think, is then she will, while she is working at the Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Children's School, she runs a boarding house on the 1000 block of South University in Normal for African-American students attending what was then known as Illinois State Normal University. This was a time before World War II where African-Americans could attend Illinois State University but were not allowed to stay in the two dormitories at that time, which would have been Fell Hall for women and Smith Hall, a much smaller building, for men. Those were only available to white students.
I had one big room and 2 small ones. I had 2 beds in the big room and a cot and a big bed in the other room. Some of them couldn't find no place to live, and they cooked and ate there.
So African Americans had to find housing off campus. And the problem was most folks, residents in Normal, that would let out space, an upstairs room, say, to Illinois State students, would not rent space to African Americans. So it was up to folks like Anna to take care of African American students. Coming from Chicago, coming from the Metro East area, East St. Louis and elsewhere, and folks that lived in Bloomington Normal as well.
But them boys I had, they all made good. Elroy Young, he's a bone specialist in Baltimore. I helped him a lot because his mother wasn't able to send him. I was in southern Illinois. They told me he was an excellent student and that he wanted to be a doctor when he was 5 years old. Didn't know anything about a doctor. He wanted to be a doctor.
And one of the tragedies of Bloomington Normal, because we really have a system of Jim Crow for much of the first half of the 20th century, where African Americans were denied access to restaurants downtown, could not stay at the finer hotels in downtown Bloomington. You had separate racially segregated seating in downtown theaters. We had racially segregated beaches on the west side, Miller Park, from 1908 into the 1950s, if you could imagine that. So one of the tragedies of this system of Jim Crow in Bloomington Normal was the brain drain. Yes, Illinois State University accepted African American students, but the problem was these students, once they were educated at ISU, had no job opportunities here.
So then I had another boy from Southern Illinois. I had three boys. George Cross. He's a principal of a school in East St. Louis. Richard Ruffin is a doctor in Cleveland, Ohio.
District 87, Bloomington Public Schools, did not hire their first African-American teachers until the 1960s. So a lot of African-Americans that were educated at ISU had to find employment, say, in Indianapolis or Chicago or Tulsa or elsewhere. So this community was denied all this incredible vibrancy of these young black women and men who had to look elsewhere for employment and raise families elsewhere because we were denying them, we being the Bloomington Normal community, access to the middle class.
Well, we served mostly just cheap meat. We had beef stew and steak and pig ears and pig feet. We had a great big lard can full of feet and ears.
In 1959, the campus religious center at ISU, headed by Jim Prine, who's still with us today, Jim Prine drafts something called the Covenant of Open Occupancy. And he wants people that rent a space to ISU students in the town of Normal. There's about 300 people that had done that. This is 1959. He wanted them to sign what he called the Covenant of Open Occupancy, that yes, they would rent their attic room or their basement room or their extra room in their house to an African-American student, because we know these 300 or so folks were renting to white students. Of those 300 homes, Jim Prine could only get five people to sign that Covenant of Open Occupancy.
They couldn't eat on campus or in town. And the way they do, they all got together and wrote out a menu and put it on the wall behind my stove for the week. One of them would cook one week and two would wash dishes.
Interestingly, what we know about Anna Sanders Clark, a lot of what we know about her comes through the brilliant work of Mildred Pratt. It was Mildred Pratt who looked at the lives of elderly women, African-American women, in the 1970s and 1980s and said, these are people that devoted their lives, really worked for hostile strangers, right? Devoted a lifetime of servitude and lived a third-class life because they were forced to. And yet their lives were supremely dignified. And certainly Anna Sanders Clark lived a life of indescribable eloquence.
This episode of McHistory was produced by GLT's Mary Cullen, featuring Bill Kemp and Diva Griffin with the McLean County Museum of History.